Does God have absolute sovereignty over all of his creation or not? I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, I'm Dr. Fred. Thanks so much for joining me. You know, as a person studies through the New Testament, especially the Gospels, it should become clear that Jesus, God the Son, had and continues to have absolute authority over illnesses, demons, and even death itself. He is God, and he was so even as he walked on this earth in actual human form as the God-man. Jesus tackled problems, illnesses, and death, all directly due to the fall and creation of the sin nature that passed from person to person. He dealt with these issues during his physical life head on and changed people's lives in the process. Many went from being unsaved to saved. Many went from being ill to being made whole. A few went from being physically dead to being physically made alive. Jesus fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He was able to read people's thoughts, the intentions of their hearts. He did what he could to alleviate pain and discomfort among multitudes that either came to him for comfort or he came across during his ministry. But there's something that Jesus did not do. He did not change society for the better. In fact, it's very clear that he was not interested in doing that. He changed people one by one. He knew that time would come, and let's be clear that when he returns physically to this earth at some point in the future, this will be his number one priority to change society at that point. There's nothing in Scripture that provides an example of Jesus taking on Rome, for instance. The only time he said anything negative against one of Rome's leaders was when he made comments about Herod from Luke 13:32-34. Let me read that. Quote, "And he said to them, 'Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I reach my goal. Nevertheless, I must journey on today and tomorrow and the next day, for it cannot be that a prophet would perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it." Unquote. Now, it's interesting here because Jesus called Herod a fox, because he knew that Herod was being used by Rome, willingly, by the way, over the Jewish people. Herod had been made king of the Jews by Rome because they felt someone with connections to the Jews would be more acceptable to the Jewish leaders rather than sending in a Gentile. With one word, fox, Jesus was acknowledging that he knew what Herod was up to. That's it, though. That's essentially the extent of Jesus' political commentary, except for his give unto Caesar statement regarding taxes. Oh, and by the way, I heard Sean Hannity say that this statement of Jesus actually means that no one has to pay taxes. Hannity is 100% incorrect. Paul reflects Jesus' views later in his epistles when he speaks of living a quiet life and honoring those whom God has appointed over us, 1 Thessalonians 4 and Romans 13. Now, the only time Paul really even used his Roman citizenship, by the way, was in an effort to stand before Caesar so that he could preach the gospel message. He had already preached that message to other government leaders. What do Christians want to do today, though? Certainly not preach the gospel to our leaders. We want them to, quote, repent, though that's never actually explained. Or we want them out of office. Or we want them to go to the place where Satan lives. Literally, I've had Christians who've said, oh, I hope he dies and goes to hell. What is that? How is that Christianity? How is that Christianity? In other words, what was once preaching the gospel message for the salvation of souls has been transformed into a message that supposedly transforms society. A friend of mine recently referred to this as civic Great Commission, which is certainly accurate as far as a portrayal of how the gospel message has been twisted for today's political endeavors. The Dominionist movement, as we've been discussing in this series, has come along claiming that God has a plan, but it's somewhat limited because he apparently lost the keys to this world. Satan stole them in his temptation successfully of Adam and Eve. He is therefore dependent. God is therefore dependent upon humanity to accomplish his purposes. He needs us to get the keys back. Without humanity, he's stymied. You know, while this concept may sound spiritual, while it may warm the heart of many, I can't find it in biblical truth. It doesn't appear to be there. Believing that God cannot usher in the changes needed to bring the times and seasons to their fulfillment so that the hour of his return occurs is like saying that people are partially responsible for earning or maintaining their own salvation. You know, God has not limited himself where his plans and purposes are concerned. Humanity has limited us. And because of that, we limit by our willful ignorance what God can do for us, but his plans are never stymied. He did not lose anything to Satan to the extent that without man's efforts, God cannot return to this earth. That would mean that God has lost some measure of his sovereignty. In so many words, that is the essential foundational belief of Dominionism. God is either fully sovereign or not at all sovereign. It can't be both. And that's like saying that the Bible means more than one thing. No, it either means one thing or it means nothing. It can't have multiple meanings. It's our job to learn what God means by it, not what we think he means. Now, in our last episode, we highlighted a number of quotes from one of Dominionism's, I guess, unofficial leaders, C. Peter Wagner. We noted how he referred back to Constantine, and though he says that modern-day Dominionism is not a throwback to that day, in reality, it seems to be very much alive, and just as forceful without the actual shedding of blood. One article, it's called Quotes on Dominionism from the Apostles and Prophets of the New Apostolic Reformation by Rachel Tabachnik, is very in-depth and well worth the time to read it. I applaud her ability to get to the heart of the matter while connecting many of the dots between individuals who control the way Christianity is often seen, at least in America today. The number of individuals connected with this multitude of organizations can be rather astounding, and only the most thick-headed, uneducated individual would scoff at the collective amount of information presented by Tabachnik. There are plenty of people in denial today, unfortunately, who aid and abet Dominionism because of their faulty understanding of Scripture and their disbelief that it actually exists. Within Dominionism, there are many individuals who are involved in the quote-unquote spiritual warfare type of ministry. These people tell you that they go head-to-head with demons and even Satan often. The warfare, they tell us, is exhausting. Oh, but it's rewarding as they claim they push back the forces of evil, breaking down this stronghold or tearing apart that one. You know, to hear about their exploits, you'd think you were reading an installment of Star Wars. And most certainly, they believe that the force is with them. But it all depends on how prayed up they are and how much God's power works in and through them to accomplish the task. Because the implication is without them, God can't work, or at least his efforts are greatly minimized. Let me ask you something. Exactly what, if anything, has changed in society over the past 15 to 20 years that would prove that Dominionism has made any positive impact at all? In a word, nothing has changed for the better. Things keep worsening. Dominionists will say, well, that's because Christians aren't working hard enough. We're not praying in God's power enough. We're not exercising his authority enough, etc., etc., etc. Really, this is absurd to me. God can accomplish nothing without us? Some people actually believe that. According to these leaders, the church's job is to possess the nations, literally. This is done in the following ways, and it's certainly not an exhaustive list. It's done through spiritual warfare, taking the enemy directly on. Prayer warfare, praying. So prayer warfare, praying. We become prayer warriors for the world, for society. Not for the evangelization or the salvation of the lost, but so we can take back society. It's done through fasting. It's done through working actively in politics. It's done through social venues, signs and wonders, words of knowledge, power of believing. Name it, claim it. Word of faith, and it goes on and on. For instance, best-selling author Cindy Jacobs, well known for being an in-depth in demand strategic source of information on prayer and intercession, travels the globe teaching normal everyday Christians how to handle intercessory prayer, breaks strongholds, and explains differences between a variety of types of intercession in her training manual, Possessing the Gates of the Enemy, which ultimately means that, quote, today's praying church is rising up in militant force to possess the promised land of our nations, unquote. That to me is so disgusting because it is such a slam against God's sovereignty. There are many training manuals available about this type of service to God from a variety of sources, most of them from the Signs and Wonders crowd. You know, I've had several, and I'm always amazed at how far beyond Scripture they go. But that's because it's believed that God is still also writing his word. He's always expanding it. It's not God's final word is not to be captured in just the pages of what we know as the Bible. God's always adding to it, they say. Well, in a quote about how we are to possess the promised land of our nations, Jacobs is busy allegorizing the promised land completely out of its original context and meaning to no longer have anything to do with Israel at all. This appears to be the norm for many proponents of dominionism in its various forms. According to them, God has moved way beyond Israel and considers the whole earth his. It is his, and he needs his church to regain control over the nations before he can return and exercise physical control over the earth. No, he doesn't. He has it all under control. Our job, and our only job, is to evangelize the lost, not possess the nations for Christ. But Cindy Jacobs is merely one person among many other apostles, prophets, luminaries, and leaders. In the article linked above, if you go to my blog, studygrownoblog.com, and this particular article is, it's All About Dominionism, Kingdom Now, and the New Apostolic Reformation, Part 4. So if you go there, you'll see what I'm talking about. There are links to different articles. So in the article linked above by Tabachnik, she explains why there are so many apostles, prophets, officers, and other leaders in so many different types of organizations. And even though they are separate and distinct organizations, they're all busily at work to bring about the same goal. And once you begin to realize exactly how all these people of various stripes are connected, it then becomes easy to see why we are constantly bombarded with so much gloom and doom and the world is ending dogma. These things are used to scare average Christians, conservatives, and patriots into joining the same team and certainly giving up some of your hard-earned money, right, for the kingdom of God. In many cases, it doesn't even matter what a person's individual beliefs are about certain ideologies, homosexuality, etc., as long as the person is conservative, patriotic for America, or considers themselves a conservative Christian, all is well. Let's all join the same team and work for God. Well, let's understand that there is a huge difference between actually teaching what the Bible says about the end times, which is necessary, I believe, and twisting things so that you wind up creating unfounded fears in people for the purpose of trying to recapture, control, or conquer. This is not what the Great Commission is all about. Many of the folks lead known Christian Reconstructionist organizations, often peddling troubling dialogue. How long have we been hearing that President Obama is going to put martial law in place or that he's going to do away with elections altogether as he prepares to become dictator for life? Have you heard that? I've heard it for years. I'm not trying to minimize some of the bad things that are happening in America today with a Congress that seems unable, unwilling, or maybe sold out to the elite, but they're unwilling to obey the Constitution. However, creating fear or even a mild dissatisfaction in someone is one of the greatest tools used by any salesperson to get people to buy or buy into a form of thinking that makes them want to do something to resist the alleged coming tide, and in doing so throws Christians off track and down the wrong path. Is God in control by himself or not? Listen to this quote. The Oak Initiative has several leading apostles on board and also includes Lieutenant General, retired, William Boykin and Lou Sheldon. Sheldon has claimed that Christian patriots are headed for a Holocaust at the hands of a Marxist, leftist, homosexual, Islamic coalition. Prior to the 2010 elections, And I'm not sure which elections he was talking about there. We've had election in 2008. We've had election in 2012 for the president. So this must have been the midterm elections for people in Congress. Prior to that election, the Oak Initiative produced a video in which Boykin claimed that under President Obama, this nation is in the grip of a Marxist insurgency. Okay, well, that much I agree with. The video was widely distributed, including by many Tea Party organizations. The Oak Initiative is partnering with Transformation Michigan and Lou Engel in the next The Call event in Detroit, and that was held back in November 11 of 2011, 11-11-11, with the mission of fighting the demon of Islam, quote, unquote. Doesn't it seem odd to you that the amount of years we've been warned about the coming financial apocalypse, martial law, etc., 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 that it hasn't happened yet? At one time, I was seriously invested in the end-of-the-world schemes, on the buying end of things, by the way, because I unfortunately gave into the fear instead of simply trusting God. I also realized that my focus on that completely sidetracked me from the actual Great Commission. And how sad is that? I was more concerned about storing up the future for the future when things went bad than obeying the Great Commission. What? You need salvation? Look, I'm trying to squirrel things away from my family right now for when the bad times hit. I'm busy right now, but check back with me later, okay? That was the attitude. There are, frankly, too many of these dominionist organizations and offshoots to keep up with, and we are overwhelmed with their constant peddling of fear every day. They do tremendous damage to the actual cause of Christ because the fear is enough to make you want to avoid simple evangelism and work on turning this country around, isn't it? That's the plan, which I believe was spawned in hell. Create fear, call to arms, take back society. It's always interesting to hear how many of these organizations have apostles and prophets, too. The implication is that if you do not disagree, you do not disagree with an apostle. And you certainly do not question or counter the word of a prophet. Because of that, there is a built-in pseudo-authoritarian-like atmosphere within many, if not all, of these organizations. God has supposedly anointed them and their leaders. How dare you or I question their methods, their motives, their goals, even if it doesn't align with Scripture? We were warned. Don't question them. Don't think. Simply hear what they have to say. Allow fear to take hold. Then work harder with them to reform society so that Jesus can come back sooner than later. Ignore the fact that they talk more about taking nations back for God than for actually winning souls for Christ. This is anti-biblical in too many ways to count. Therefore, it is from hell itself. Folks, I want to focus on a few more individuals who are at the forefront of dominionism fervor, and I hope to do that next time, so I hope you'll join me then. Until then, I pray that until we meet again, God would open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.